Be a glorious day.
Yeah. Amen.
All right, so it says it's good to have the Crumptons with us. Of course, those who have been around here for a while, I know the Crumptons, pastors of Claiborne County Baptist Church down in Arkansas, and of course used to travel doing VBS and camp for a day and was here just about every year for a long time when they were doing that. Their crowd size with them is a little smaller now than it used to be. They're down to empty nesters now and traveling by themselves. We were talking yesterday, some of those who are now in the college and career class and over in the singles class, we're talking about the fact that it brought back memories, the Crumptons here, or flashbacks. I don't remember which word it was they used, but about them coming and being here when they were little, you know, and now here they are grown and Brother Crumpton and his wife's getting old. And so they remember all of that, but it was good to have them back then. Did a great job with that. Appreciate them taking time to come up and be with us this morning. So Brother Crumpton, why don't you just come ahead, sir? And as you come, there's some water in that clear glass if you need it.
All right, you could be turning to Luke chapter 17. And I hope that me wearing two pair of glasses is not a distraction. Let's just go ahead and get that over with. Say, what in the world? Well, found out last year that I have, as we pronounce it in Arkansas, diabetes type 2. And so sometimes it acts up and water draws from my eyes. It happens consistently. 3 times it's done this. And I thought it was under control now, but then suddenly it started blurring a little bit. So what happens is, just because my eyes are 53 years old, I got to have readers. And that's what these are, number twos down there. But to see everyone clearly, you know, and not get a headache, I put these on. I just went to the eye doctor. He said, that's happening again. But I usually don't even need glasses to see out there. But anyway, I know it's weird. So you can call me Six Eyes. Nobody else gets that name. Sure is good to be here. I tell you, this is a special place for our family. And it came to my mind yesterday, the kids were homeschooling downstairs, and then the B2s, we could kind of hear them taking off. It didn't matter what was going on, what subject, middle of the test, it didn't matter. We're out, kids are out watching them take off. Of course, we set up at the cemetery a couple times just to really get that good view, but and then that one time we had it all lined up to tour the inside of one, and something happened, but we still got to look at the outside of it close. You know how it is. You got all this paperwork, and anyway, but that's the neat area. But it's really more about this church is special just because, I don't know, I know it's a live stream, but there were some churches we were close to than others. It's just the way it was, and this is one of them, and it was privilege to be a part of, I guess I could say, your kids growing up, and now I guess some of those kids maybe have kids at this point. It was been a little over 20 years since we started traveling then, but been pastoring for 10, going on 10 years now, and time just really flies, doesn't it? But enough about all of us, it's all about him, right? Amen. Luke chapter 17. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother shall trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. If he shall trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. The Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. So the title this morning is simply, Lord, Increase Our Faith. I'm on board, aren't you?
Amen.
I'd love to have my faith increased. So that's the message today. Let's get into it. Heavenly Father, we sure need you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be able to set aside all the things going on in our lives. Lord, the things going on in the political world, things going on around the world, pandemic, those things. Lord, those unspoken things we say nothing about, only to you. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to focus upon your word. Lord, it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword and can make that everlasting change in our life if we'll just but listen and obey. And so, Lord, we ask you to help us, Lord. You promise that help comes from you. So, Lord, the best we know how, we're asking right now for your help from your word. We will absolutely glorify you for all that's done. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. So these disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. And they said that to Jesus because evidently from this text here, they had some trouble with their bitterness. Now, I'm just making sure, are we all engaged here? Are we all in the building? I know our bodies are, but it takes a minute for us to get the gear switched. And so, ever had bitterness? I'd love to shake your hand and meet you if you never have, because it happens, it sneaks up on us. And that's what's being dealt with in the text here. And they just really struggled with what Jesus said there in verse 4. Seven times, guys, can you imagine a guy messing up seven times to you personally and him apologizing every time sincerely? It would get old after the second time with us. Not putting up with, I mean, once, okay, twice, no. Three times, seven times, Lord, really, seven times. They said, Lord, you got to help us with this. Increase our faith. Because somehow we figure ourselves to be decent Christians and we're so forgiving. Oh, well, we can forgive that one time. It starts getting third time, fourth time. In the same day, we feel like we have the right to be bitter at this point. I noticed your theme there about roots downward. You know, the Bible talks about bitterness being a root, and boy, if it gets deep.
Yeah.
Huh? Evidently, bitterness posed a real problem in their lives. They just couldn't see how they could forgive at that level. I mean, perhaps, you know, they were upset with the Roman government. I mean, there were other times where there was bad apples in the government, okay? Jesus was during that time, you know, but how could they forgive? You know, okay, we already have to go a mile with these guys, and the Lord wants us to go to 2 miles, but now what if it wrongs us seven times a day? Then there's the fake religious crowd Jesus preached to, dealt with, and probably, you know, how can they put up with that? But let's look at the text close here. Go back there to that verse 1. Let this soak in. It is impossible but that offenses will come. It's not a matter if they're going to come. They will come. Just plan on it. This is red letter edition, right out of the mouth of Jesus. It's impossible that they won't come. They are going to come. So just plan on it. You could really get addicted to bitterness. It's not that hard. It is an issue to be dealt with. Jesus knew, He knows our hearts, He knows how we're made, and so therefore much of His ministry dealt with this subject. And it's all, you know, it's all around that envy jealousy. You know, the disciples were trying to be greater than the other one, and he got a little boy in there. I mean, he had to deal with this issue of bitterness. He clearly warned that we shouldn't be surprised when offenses come. Can you believe they did that to me? Yeah. Happens all the time. So how do we... So if we expect... This will change your life. I promise you, if you'll let this soak in, this will help you. How hard is it to be a witness, to pray, to study God's Word, if that person, that thing, or that issue is constantly on your mind and you cannot leave it? And that anger goes further than it goes on into bitterness, and then it gets hatred, and then it could really get out of hand. So if we expect the attempt at us being offended, expect the possibility of that. Don't expect the devil to sit around and not attempt to make our lives miserable. We're trying to serve the Lord. We want to please Him. And why wouldn't we? We have heaven coming. I mean, we have, right now we are experiencing and learning about life more abundantly. Isn't it great to be saved?
Amen.
But then this guy, this joker, just comes up and goes, and messes up your day. Or you see something on the news, and here you go, firing off about it. Anyway, so we're going to look at to the two sides of this. So it's really only two points, but there's a lot of meat on those bones. So, and I'll be preaching a interior message too coming. So anyway, first let's look at the offender. There's the offender and the offended, all right, in this issue here. The offender is that guy that does the bad action. He's the guy that starts it, and which we never do. We're such wonderful Christians with halos growing and angels' wings and stuff like that. We never do offend. Y'all okay? Hey, we better get humble in this. The offender. Not a good choice to be the offender. Jesus gives a huge warning about this. He says, "Whoa." Now that's not like pulling a horse back, whoa. This is, whoa, judgment is coming. Okay? Whoa, through whom they... And then he takes I don't want to say he chases a rabbit because he's God. So he on purpose deals with offending a little one. And the millstone and the little story there. Huge warning. Just a little thing that's on my heart is fervently praying that legal abortion will end in our country. It's fervent. Now it is not to be something that we put up there with the Great Commission, because if folks are saved, they truly know the Lord, they're going to choose life, okay? I'm telling you, it's going to be that way. So really, if we just get the gospel, lives will change. I understand that. But there are sins that God hates. And one of them is hands that shed innocent blood. And there's clear judgment. Read about it in the Old Testament of innocent blood that was shed. Judgment came, and the Scripture even says about God said, that never entered even into my mind. That's quite a statement. But when they sacrificed children to their idolatrous sins, and what's the difference basically? When you're worshiping fornication, this is the sacrifice that happens. Are you with me on that?
Amen.
Little ones. And so judgment, it's not a matter of when, it's just a matter of how long it's going to be put off, really. Judgment has to come. Or God would have to apologize to those nations that He brought judgment upon. So and I'm not saying this is hate speech. Oh no, I don't hate anyone out there that has chosen to shed innocent blood. Okay, I don't hate them. But it would be more hateful for me to ignore the warning and not tell you what Jesus said. I love folks too much to not warn about what an offender will face. God hates hands that shed innocent blood. It's not hate speech for me to cry out about those sins that God hates. Jesus even put, and I'm not sure if it's in the Greek or not, but we suddenly have translated here, an exclamation point. That doesn't often happen in scriptures, but it's there for the reason that I believe that's inspired, that some type of emphasis came from Jesus that needed exclamation point type of punctuation. That's right. So it's not a light thing. So I'm against abortion. I understand that. But what about being an offender? Offender. Offenders, listen now, offenders, according to this, do not get away with it. God doesn't charge us, okay, with offenses like a policeman would do. Okay, he already knows when we offend. Okay, he already knows. Police will, you know, charge on a probable cause as stated in our Constitution. But God said in His Word, James 2:10, whosoever shall keep the whole law yet offend in what? One point is guilty of all. Yet offend in one point. The word is there. Guilty of all. No one is a partial sinner. Well, I've only offended somebody one time. You're guilty of all. Let's just put it all out there on the table. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. One offense. Okay, we're born that way. But if we dug deep, no one in this room could say probably I've never told a lie. We need to get a little more humble with this, okay? Once we're saved, we don't have to sin anymore. Thank God we're not bound by sin. We're in a grace. Thank God we don't have to. God gives us the grace and the strength to do what's right. If we'll depend on Him, we do not have to sin anymore. But we're not always surrendered. When the pressure comes, when the temptation is there, we don't have to give in to it. But it's there, and possibility to offend again. Whether you offend man or whether you offend God, offense and offense. God help us to be non-offenders. Is this possible with the grace of God? Yes. I mean, I don't think after we have victory and begin to grow in this, we don't need to wear a neon sign that says, hey, I don't offend you anymore. I'm not offending you anymore. Somebody might get offended just at your smile for some reason. So I'm just saying, you may be not trying to, but that's the other guy we're going to talk about in a minute. But again, we don't have to be the offender. So, well, I get offended all the time. We're getting to you. God's word, though, can be offensive. It can be but it's in a right kind of way. Okay, we're not talking about the kind. Now, we are trying to preach, help people. We're not trying to cram God's word down people. We could be an offender like that too. It's not that God's word needs any help. We just get in on the blessings of being able to be the mailman, the messenger. To shine the light. I love this truth. The Lord's been really helping me with this, and we're not the fixer. Man, that just lifts the load. I'm not the fixer. God is the fixer. Okay? God is, as it says in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 12, he talks about building the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach. I'm not the repairer of the breach. I'm not the restorer of the paths. That's what God is. Aren't you glad He restored your paths? Aren't you glad He's maybe repaired the breach in your life? He's the only one that can do that. I'm not the fixer. That takes the pressure off of us. Sometimes we can be the offender if we're trying to step in and be in God's shoes. Well, you don't know what they did. They need to get right with God. Well, yeah, but let them get right with God. You'd be better off loving, praying, being there when they reach back, but don't try to cram it on them like that. This is a little help. God's word has reaffirmed to me that if I have proclaimed the truth, okay, and if I've proclaimed the truth in love, someone heard that truth, okay, but they chose not to follow it, I don't have to answer to God for them. I've caught myself getting offended if I have spoke the truth in love, and them get mad at it. Like, how could I do it any better than this, Lord? Please, right? I'm just trying to talk real here. This is a real issue. But if we have proclaimed the truth in love, we're not the offenders. Okay? We are to plant the seed. We get involved in the planting and the watering, but it's not up to us to give the increase. So don't get offended if people don't receive it. Just enjoy the blessings of getting in on the blessings. If someone now offends God after hearing the truth in love, we don't have to grovel around in discouragement. I understand you have the Hope Ministry here, the recovery. We run the same program. And I want to tell you something, you better be on prayer ground. You better be on your knees to be involved in that kind of ministry. Because you're going to get disappointed over and over and over again. Hey, take that burden to the Lord and leave it there. Those folks need stability. Okay, we all need stability. Okay? We all deal with those things, but they are under a physical control in many times, and sometimes you'll feel like men are doing great, and then they're gone. Anyway, that's not on here, but I'm just saying, keep praying, keep loving, keep encouraging, keep proclaiming the truth in love. I'm glad that God's forgiving, aren't you? I'm glad that He loves us enough, and I realize that when we sin, it offends, but He sure does forgive. He sure does. If I could say like we would be, get over it. I think it says He's ready to forgive. Doesn't it say it that way? Mm-hmm. He's ready to forgive, but we're ready to get offended. Oh. Anyway, I'm getting to that other part. Are we prepared to stand before God and answer for how well we've been doing with His truth? Have we sought forgiveness? Anyway, so that's the offender. Now the offended. This is the bad reaction, okay? The offender is the bad action. The offended is the bad reaction. I think I just said both of those are bad. I'm telling you, this issue is in churches. I don't care how many halos you have here. I don't care how many angels' wings. I don't care how good your shoes are shining. It doesn't make any difference. This is a big thing in churches. Why? Because we can't expect the devil to sit around and let go a church that's mission-minded, that believes in holiness, that wants to meet the Lord spotless. That's His church. That's what we want. And you think the devil's going to sit around and not try to mess this thing up? He is. Expect it. As a matter of fact, it's impossible that this won't happen. Jesus said it. Expect it. But how to react? Well, you don't know what they did. Somehow we have added it to our Bill of Rights that if something happens, we have the right to be offended. I'm offended. Have you heard it? I'm offended. Or maybe it's put this way. Quit judging me. You're saying the same thing? I'm saying the same thing? Quit judging me. You're judging me. Oh, man, that's so big now. You're judging me. People are so easily offended. It's almost like we stand on our rights. We're suddenly victimized by you. And why have churches taken lessons on this from the lost world? I don't understand. Why is that catching on in churches? Why? After all this warning that Jesus helps us with. I think we're all about forbearance here, right? Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. And that verse, they that love thy law, nothing, do you not know this one? Nothing shall offend them. So if you said, I'm offended, you suddenly just said, I hate the Bible. You just said it. You didn't say it verbally in quote, but that's the attitude. Psalm 86, verse 5, for thou, Lord, art good, and here's the verse, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Aren't we supposed to be taking lessons from our Heavenly Father? Plenteous in mercy, is that really? We have caught on this victimization mentality. It's leaked in here. It has. into our churches is not supposed to be part of us. Okay? The all-time great victim was Jesus Christ. Gave his life. The Lamb of God, taking away the sin of the world. We are not in that category and we never will be. If you want to talk about maybe something a little closer to that, read Fox's Book of Martyrs. There's places where we can find people that really were victims. And I realize there is abuse. I'm not saying that. I understand and I deal with it. We work with folks that have been abused. But forgiveness is available. I'm talking about for us to learn how to forgive. This is part of this is in the context of increasing our faith. See? It's there. When we have a lack of faith, it gives us the wrong perspective dealing with problems, dealing with offenses. See? Oh, it's right here. Weak faith affects how we deal with problems or offenses. The lack of faith will cause a problem. Let's put it back this way. The lack of faith will cause a person to take on the problems themselves, while in the same breath they say they're praying about it. They're really taking it on, though. Well, how else am I supposed to deal with it? Strong faith does not take on problems. Does not try to take on offenses. Strong faith goes fully to God with the problems. Isn't it supposed to be casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Anybody got any problems? Anybody just been slightly offended at something? This is great. You know, God's Word can give you victory over getting offended, over learning how to react. Man, this is so necessary. Because if somebody did what you have already defined as a bad action, and it may not have been. With God's help and by God's grace, we can learn to react properly. You don't think this is big? It's very big. If pastors are dealing with problems, most of the time it's because of something I'm just talking about right here. Just not quite reacted right. Well, he started it. Yeah, but did you react right? Both could be wrong. Those disciples, they were just, Lord, really 7 times like that. Oh, it gets better than that. 70 times 7, that's in there too, right? Can we get victory over such a thing? Let me just go through a little quick story. And keep your place there in Luke. Joshua chapter 9. You know, pastors can preach 2 sermons in the same message. Well, maybe not develop it, but it's doable. Joshua chapter 9. I'm just going to, you know, kind of the story. If you don't know it, read the whole thing later. But you know how Gibeon deceived the people of Israel? They worked wilily. Yeah, they act like they were ambassadors, took old sacks and had old shoes and all this stuff, and they didn't want the people of Israel to, you know, tear down their walls like Jericho and, you know, all that was going on. And so, but verse 2, I mean, they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and Israel. So all this group was going to fight before Gibeon heard about all this. So, but first of all, let's talk about problems, issues, offenses. Don't expect all your problems to come one at a time. They won't. When it rains, it pours. And so here's Israel. They're just doing what God said. Victorious Christian life. Man, they're in a Canaan land, and they're just conquering, obeying the Lord. And so, man, all these kings gather together all at one, with one accord. I feel like the devil and his brother and his twin brother and his and it feels like the devil and his whole family have attacked your life. I know there's not a devil. I know that. Everybody, all right? I'm just trying to keep us awake here. Look up if you're listening. Look at me, okay? All right. All right. We're all here. What time do you usually finish? Because I'm not looking at a clock anywhere. We're okay? That ding only happens in Sunday school. Okay, good. Woo. They don't all come at one time. I mean, they're going to come. I made the point. Number two, look at verse 4. Deception was there. Joshua 9, verse 4, in case I didn't clarify it. You got it? Number two, don't expect your problems to play fair. It's not fair what all's happening to me. You just have no idea what's... How are you going to react? This is good, isn't it? How do we react? And then the real issue is verse 14. People of Israel, the men. We're talking about Joshua. We're talking about the elders of Israel. The men took of their victuals. I don't know why they ate moldy food. Maybe I'm missing something in the Hebrew. But anyway, they asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. They simply just didn't pray about it. How many times has something come up? Issue, offense, somebody did you wrong, you think, you know, I gotta fix this. You lose sleep all night over it. But you didn't pray. Just didn't pray about it. They asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. In reality, what we define as a problem is really a reaction to things. Issues don't have to be problems. Isn't this great? Just reframe this, okay? When a problem, an issue, or an offense, something like this, when it comes, we don't have to be the offended. Issues are not problems until they begin to worry us or cause us to react badly to them. Jesus said, remember now, it's impossible for offenses not to come. They are going to come. Expect them to come. Don't be surprised. And they're going to come all at once, and they're not going to play fair. They're only potential offenses. This is hard to swallow. That's why I'm trying to help us grasp that point of where the disciples were when they said, Lord. They put it like that. Lord, increase our faith. We can't do this. And in our culture, we're just real easy to be offended. I mean, we get offended quick. You try to go through the drive-thru. I mean, for a while there, you can't go inside. You're already upset about that. You have to go through the drive-thru, and they always get it wrong in the drive-thru, and they were going to do it again. You're already worked up because it's going to be wrong when you go through the drive-thru. They make you wear a mask even if you go through the drive-thru. It's crazy, you know, some places. Not really, but they did some. If we're ready to forgive instead of bite back, it changes everything. Now, we are not capable of doing that on our own. We're not. Somehow we think we're capable of conquering the Christian life. We are not. We better figure out, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You better start figuring it out. You say, well, I mean, I got this thing. No, you don't. It's not 50-50, buddy. You zero. You can do. Your sinful flesh accomplishes nothing but eternal separation from God. If there's anything you have, the wrath of God abides on the lost. But if you're saved, the only righteousness you have is because of the blood of Jesus Christ. The only way for you to please Him is by full dependence upon Him. Somehow we figure out, well, we can do about 10% of this. No. Without Christ, without me, all right, let's quote the Bible. Without me, ye can do nothing. Okay, there it is. God supplies needs. Philippians 4, we've been talking about Philippians 4:13. Verse 19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And we think that's talking about paying our bills and so forth. Needs is a big category. We need Him completely for everything that we do. God supplying our needs is not limited to provision like we usually have. Needs are often supplied in the form of revision. Since we're saved, Man, it's so good to be able to say that. Let's ask ourselves, okay, where's the faith in my decision? This will help. Take a note here. In this part about being offended and offenses and so forth, Jesus is helping these disciples let their faith grow, their faith in God. And so when a thing comes, where's the faith? What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I can't see how to fix this, so therefore, by faith, is the only chance I've got is to trust the Lord with this. Where's the faith in this decision? I mean, this is very simple. Where's the faith in skipping church? Well, does church do me any good? You're thinking without faith in that kind of question. Is church essential? That's a faithless question. That's a faithless question. Yeah. Where's the faith in lack of prayer? None. Where's the faith in lack of studying the Word of God? Where's the faith in bitterness? See how that works? Where's the faith in worry? Taught a little song yesterday. It was kind of our theme song during the lockdown era last year. And we kept going. And I don't know if you've ever, some of them heard it yesterday, but the song was sung about the prints of the nails in his hand. But there was one disciple, he had to see those. What was his name? Thomas. This little song has it in there. I'll sing it for you. Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus, He'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Rest fully on His promise. Why worry, 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 worry when you can pray? You see, we walk by faith. Thomas had a little bit of a faithless moment, but God helped him because when he got done seeing that, he said, "My Lord and my God." That's faith to take a statement like that. Now, we can't see those. We cannot see them until, like that hymn said, one day we will. They are real. But we walk by faith. We can be doubting Thomas's in different kinds of ways. Well, let me see here. Jesus spoke the truth in love. Grace and truth, that was how Jesus spoke. Remember that? He went about doing good. Isn't this grace that we can make this statement? Jesus never got offended. Oh, to be like Him. Oh, to be like Him. Jesus never got offended. They spit in His face. He didn't get offended. Blindfolded Him, hit Him. Most unfair trial there ever was. An innocent man was traded for a murderer, Barabbas. And after that all went through, he's hanging, he's nailed. And he said, "Father, forgive them." He wasn't forgiving them. I mean, he didn't have to. But they offended, because you offend God with sin. That's all, that's Bible. If you offend in one point, you're guilty of all. We already established that. But He said, "Father," that's how He's an intercessor for us. He helps us, see. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But once you've been saved, we don't have to be the offender anymore. Nor do we have to be the offended. Jesus didn't get offended. I don't think there's anything you compare to all Jesus went through. In our mind, he had the right to be offended. Oh, yeah. He didn't. He never got offended. But if we come to him in repentance, we can have forgiveness, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Isn't that what it says? Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That's how it's actually worded, yeah. So I've come to the conclusion, if we are walking by faith, fully dependent on the Lord, that we have little time to waste about sulking around being offended. I don't have time for that. We need to be a little more focused on the Lord straightening us out. Okay? We need to be more concerned about walking by faith, not by sight. We need to be more concerned about lost souls and how we can love people to Jesus. Okay? The greater problem in this offended issue, the greater problem is us. Okay? We've got to own it. We're the saved sinner, okay? And the only help we have, the only chance we have is by the grace of God. So we got to quit blaming conspiracists and liars and the lost, and the government. We've got to quit blaming racists. We don't have to be, and we can't blame all that stuff, okay? We can't blame, it's us. We need the fixing, okay? The message today is about increasing our faith. How is this accomplished? Focus more on Jesus Christ and our issues rather than all the issues that everybody else has. I want to talk about this last part of the text, verses 7 through 10. You know, as I've read through this several times in my life, but until I just knuckled down to study, it always intrigued me this how it It was, it's just maybe some of the wording, but it's kind of one of those stories you just kind of read through and maybe not exactly get what is happening until you study and meditate. And I get that last part, man. That was quoted a lot of times growing up to me. You're unprofitable servants. You've done that, you know, if you've done your duty. And I get that's what it all comes to. But what is this story about? This guy's been working. He's been plowing or feeding and he comes in and then he has to get the meal ready. And does the servant get told, I thank you? Okay, does the master say, thank you, servant, for all that, because that's his job? Now, I'm just looking and reading all that. It's an intriguing passage. But what I see here, the idea of this parable, servant comes home and he's been working hard, okay? And he doesn't get to clock out. He doesn't get to clock out when he gets done with his job in the field. He comes in and he starts getting supper ready. It's part of his job description, part of his duty. As we would say, like a kid's book, the moral of this story is the servant should not expect a thank you or a pat on the back. He's just doing his job. We get offended because somebody didn't recognize what we did. Lord, help us. I mean, it's right to give credit where credit is due and to be thankful. But what if it just, maybe somebody didn't thank you for something that you did for the Lord? Did you do it for the Lord or did you do it to get a thank you from somebody? Now, I'm not saying we're, you know, to be unthankful for folks when they help and things. We try that. Sometimes it maybe not happen. Expect offenses to come. That doesn't have to be an offense, though. You're doing it for the Lord. How dare we get offended at God, okay, from us just doing what we're supposed to do, okay? We may not get any benefits from doing what we do. And I think we did get a benefit. I think we got everlasting life. Right. We're not going to hell. Right. So if you do something here at this church building, for the Lord Jesus Christ, and it maybe doesn't get recognized, that's okay. Don't get mad. Don't wear your feelings like, preacher never thanks me for nothing. He tries. We try. We're not unethical like that. We try. But you're not doing it for the pastor. Okay, please, get that out. You're saved. Who saved you? Whose church is it? I don't think Brother Merrick owns this church. I think he's taught you well. The Lord owns this church. It's not about the building anyway. This is the stuff. It's we, you know. You are the church here. So do it for Him. Yeah, but I've been working all week and then I come here and volunteer work too. Wait a minute. Read that story real close. I think it's in red letter too. Not that it has to be. It's all inspired, right? Yeah. This is good. So let's wrap it up. Are we an offender? We're guilty. We've offended in one point. We are an offender. We're a saved offender. We don't have to offend anymore. Thank God for His grace. But if you're still an offender, in the sense of you're lost in sins, you're guilty of all, as the Scriptures say, woe to you. The lake of fire is your ultimate destination. But if you're saved, Jesus took all those offenses for you. So with the Lord's help, we don't have to offend anymore. I love how Jesus told that woman, go and sin no more. We don't have to. Questions. Are we easily offended? Could we forgive 7 times in one day? Could we actually pray the prayer and really mean it like Jesus, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do? That's there for our example, see. With His help, we can. Are we ready to forgive? Are we ready to bite back? And as the Scripture says, devour one another. It says that. Are we profitable servants? Do we strive to go that second mile for others? Are we just doing our job and expecting a pat on the back? Don't set yourself up to be reacting wrong. You don't have to react wrong. The real bottom line of this text is, are we concerned about our faith increasing? That's it. We will not desire increase of our faith until we admit we have need of increasing our faith. We have the need. I want my faith increased. I sure do. And I don't have it within me to do that. See, this should be our greatest concern, that we walk by faith, not by sight, as the Lord showed us in His Word. But we can be growing. Isn't this good? We can be growing in our love for the Lord. And I just want to just be like the disciples today, and just after hearing this, just going, Lord, increase my faith. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for